If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code, a lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM, let's create.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
This is Are You Kidding Podcast.
I can listen with my kids.
With brothers Sebastian and Brandon Martinez, who are kids helping kids.
Thank you, Enrique, for that intro. I still love that one. So, Brandon, guess who we're going to be interviewing today?
Who?
Well, I'll give you a hint. He's one of the best at baking.
Who could it be?
Well, he's standing right in front of us. He is Dove Goldman.
Woo!
So, how are you doing?
The crowd goes wild.
The crowd goes wild.
How's it going, guys?
Good. But before we start, I wanna say a funny joke.
Okay.
Okay. So, well, what do you call an island populated entirely by cupcakes?
An island populated entirely by cupcakes. Delicious? I don't know.
Well, besides that, deserted.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. So we know you're like the best baker.
Not really. I'm all right.
So why did you start baking?
So I was in college, and I knew I wanted to be a chef. And so I went to the best restaurant I could find in the city I was living in Baltimore. It's this place called Savannah, and the chef was amazing. And I was like, if I'm going to, you know, I want to be a chef, I want to work for the best.
Yeah.
And so I went in, and I'm like, hey, I want to be a chef. And she's like, you don't know how to cook. And I was like, yeah, but I want to learn how to cook. And she's like, yeah, but you learn how to cook somewhere else. This is the place you come when you already know how to cook. And I was like, man, come on. I really want to learn how to cook. And she was like, all right, I'll tell you what. I'll let you bake cornbread for me like one day a week. And I was like, okay, I'll do it, just to get my foot in the door. And so I went in and I baked cornbread. And I started baking the cornbread, and then I started baking the biscuits, the buttermilk biscuits. And then I started making cookies, and then I started making different kinds of cakes. Then they taught me how to make ice cream. And so I learned all this pastry stuff, even though that's not what I wanted to do at first. I want to be a chef, like fire and sweating and knives and, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like when you see like people cutting and cooking and going crazy, that's what I wanted to do. But the only job she would give me was baking. And because I just wanted to work for her, that I was like, okay, I'll learn anything you want to teach me. And while I was doing it, I like realized, I was like, you know, like I like cooking, and I would do some cooking, you know, but I really like the baking. And I think the reason why was that baking is so analytical, you know, like you have to follow a recipe, you know, you have to do some math, you have to know a little bit of chemistry, you know, and there's so much science that goes into baking. And I think I just like to think about stuff, yeah. You know, and so I think that baking to me was just so fascinating, because it was like every time you put something in the oven, it's like a science project.
Yeah, baking is pretty hard. Compared to cooking, because if you get one thing wrong, the whole, like, if you're making cake, it's ruined.
Yeah, and you can't, like, go back and fix it. You got to start over.
Yeah.
It's like
time.
A challenge.
Yeah. And we all know you're a great baker, but you're also a great chef, and you went on Iron Chef. So how was that?
It was really fun. So I got to battle my friend Michael Simon, who is a very, very amazing cook. And we had a good time, you know, because like I don't think he was expecting that I knew how to cook as much as I did, and I had never been on Iron Chef, so I didn't really know what to expect. So we had a really fun time.
So you're like the underdog, sort of.
Oh yeah, like in a cooking in any competition, I'm the underdog always. There's a lot of people out there that are much better at me than basically everything.
So
well, you're really good at baking, yeah, though.
I'm all right.
So when you were 14, why did you make sandwiches like bigger than usual?
Oh, okay. So I was working at this bagel shop, right? And so my job was like making these sandwiches, but almost got fired because I kept making the sandwiches too big, right? The thing is like the way they taught me how to make the sandwich, it was like, okay, you take the bagel, you put like one slice of cheese and then like two slices of meat and then like a tomato. And I'm like looking at it and I'm like, that's not the sandwich I'd want to eat.
Yeah, there's right, like no food in there.
Yeah. You got to be creative.
Yeah, well, not even just creative. I just want a bigger sandwich. Yeah. So I'd be like, you know what? How about three slices of cheese? How about an inch of meat instead of just two slices? You know, making like big sandwiches that people really get excited about, which was cool because people really enjoyed the sandwiches, but they were selling the sandwiches for a certain amount, right? So say $3.50. They had figured out that like, okay, a bagel plus one piece of cheese plus two slices of meat plus one tomato, and paying my salary, the sandwich should cost $3.50. Once I started adding all this extra meat and all this cheese to it, it made the sandwich way too expensive. And so we would still sell the sandwich for $3.50, but it might have costed $4 to make. And so they were losing 50 cents on every sandwich I was selling. So they didn't like that. But so, they were better sandwiches.
Yeah, they were better sandwiches. They should put that on the menu and like raise the price to like $4.50.
Right. Yeah, you'd be like, okay, you want like the regular sandwich, like here it is.
Yeah.
You want like the Duff, like Dagwood?
The Duff sandwich.
Right. The Duff sandwich.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
It should be the Duff special. And if I went to a bagel shop and got a bigger sandwich, I'd be super happy.
Yeah, totally.
And it brings more attention, so why wouldn't they like that?
And the thing about bagels is like the bread is really substantial, you know, it's super chewy. Got to really get in there. You want a lot of meat because, like, that bread's going to drown out anything that you put on there. If you have, like, two slices of Wonder Bread, you can put a piece of cheese on it, and, like, you'll taste it because Wonder Bread's, like, air. But a bagel's, like, you know, worth it.
I love everything bagels.
Like, disguises the flavor.
Yeah, you know, it's just too much. And it's just, like, it's hard to get your mouth through it. So it's a whole thing.
So if you could go back and talk to the young Duff, what advice would you give yourself?
Oh, man. If I could go back and talk to the young Duff, I would say, don't be arrogant. You know, I think that was like I used to think I was like the best at all this stuff. And, you know, like as I got older, I realized I definitely wasn't. And I feel like I wasn't able to like really truly start learning until I realized that I wasn't the best and I had a lot to learn.
Yeah.
You know?
You're never perfect. You got to keep...
Stay humble.
Yeah.
Stay humble, yeah.
So we all know that you had a bake-off between you and Buddy. Mm-hmm. So are we going to have a part two of that?
We are.
Buddy's going to come back, you know, with a new plan, a new idea.
Yeah, I think so. He is a tough competitor, man. That guy is a good cake decorator.
Do you think he's your biggest competition?
I don't think there's really competition in the world of baking. You know, there's so many different kinds of things out there that it's not really about like who's better. You know, it's like who's doing something interesting, you know?
It's like more creative.
Mm-hmm.
Who's making the cooler stuff?
Yeah, totally. It's just like, you know, I think that everybody kind of brings their own point of view to it. You know what I mean? It's just like podcasts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about how many different kinds of podcasts are out there. You can't really say that, like, this one's better than that one. It's more like, okay, well, this one's interesting for a different reason.
And we know you have, a bakery, Charm City Cakes.
I do.
How tough was it to, like, open it and, like, bring attention?
Well, it's funny because when I opened it, I didn't really want to, I wasn't trying to, like, have, like, a long business. I was in my early 20s, and I wanted to be a full-time musician. I wanted to be in a band. And so I quit my job and started selling cakes so I could pay my rent so then I could go be in a band and, like, you know, go play concerts and, like, record albums and go on tour and do all that stuff. And having a full-time job, you can't do that. So I knew that if I was making cakes, I'd make my own schedule.
So what instrument did you play?
I'm a bass player.
Oh, well, a long time ago, I played the piano. And my brother played the
I played the drums and the guitar.
Really?
Yeah.
I wasn't good at guitar, but I was pretty decent at drums.
Drums are fun, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you get to, like, whack it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. It just makes you feel, like, really, like, hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. But the thing about drums that I think is really fascinating, and just everybody's a drummer, you know? I mean, whenever you listen to a song, you know, you're always tapping and you're always doing stuff. But, like, everybody has a heartbeat, and everybody's heartbeat is a rhythm, and everybody is like, you know, when you're like still a baby, like, you know, in your mother's womb, all you hear is a heartbeat, you know? And so it's like, we're sort of born with like this sense of rhythm that I think that's why, you know, rhythm is really powerful. That's why the drums are the funnest.
Yeah. Something about it's just so cool.
Yeah. Right. There's like rhythm creates like it's, I know it's weird, but it's like rhythm kind of creates like a satisfaction, you know? And like same thing with like harmony, you know, like, you know, when you hear a harmony, like it sounds good to people, right? And then you hear something that's dissonant and it's like you can tell that like that doesn't sound quite right, but like the same harmonies sound good to lots of different people. Or the same thing with rhythm. When you're creating rhythm, especially when you're doing it in a group with other people, there's something like you really feel connected to all the other people. I think being in a band was really good for you.
Yeah, in a band, like, it brings out the vibes.
Yeah, totally. Like, it really does.
What was the name of the band?
I had a few different ones. One was So I Had To. It was the name of the band. We were all instrumental, like a really weirdo band. I was in an emo band called 2 Day Romance, right? That's good. And then now I'm in a band. It's all chefs, and we're called Foie Grock.
Oh. So what is it? What chefs?
So my sous chef, Jeff Manthorn, our singer is Bruce Kalman, who's a chef out in Los Angeles. And then our drummer is this guy, Fran, who works front of the house at a restaurant in Los Angeles, too.
When's the next concert?
You know, Bruce just moved to Vegas. And so I don't know if we have anything planned.
You guys have to do a show. I'm trying to go.
Our singer moved away. So, you know, we got to sort of figure it out.
So is there anything that people request that you hate making?
Not really. No, I don't think so. Because, I mean, you know, it's like there's a lot of stuff that, you know, you could find would be like tedious. But the trick is to make it fun for yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure you guys have, like, a class that you'd be like, oh, history. I don't want to go to history. But you can make it fun for yourself. You know what I mean? Like, I actually love history because it's, like, stories.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's, like, one of my favorite classes, too, because, like, you learn so much about what happened in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
and,
super
like,
interesting.
You not only learn, you, not only do you learn what happened, but you kind of learn, like, what to do the next time something happens. Hopefully. That's the goal.
Don't want to make the same mistake twice.
You never want to make the same mistake twice.
Yeah. For me, I like history.
Yeah.
But I'm in sixth grade, and it's not that easy.
It's not easy.
It's the test.
Yeah.
So.
But if you, like, turn it into a story, you know, like, if, like, did you see Star Wars?
Yeah.
Right? So, like, you know, you could tell me the story of Star Wars. So if you turn, like, the history that you're learning into a story and make it real for yourself, you'll remember everything.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to start doing that now.
Yeah, make a story.
So how do you feel about judging kids' baking competitions?
Judging kids' baking is one of my favorite things. It's my favorite show. I love it. You know, those kids are incredible. And it's like, you know, when they come in and they can, like, they know how to do stuff that, like, I didn't learn until I was, like, 30. I'm like, what? Man, I wish I had YouTube.
It's like for us, when people, when they look at us and we're like kids with a business, they're like, no way.
Yeah.
And then when they realize that it's an actual thing, they're like, that's crazy. Because, like, not a lot of kids have their own company. Usually it's just adult people who are just like, I don't know, just like really up there.
Yeah,
like in their 40s and stuff. But when they see us and they say, 12-year-old CEO, it's crazy.
Yeah. I think, you know, the nice thing is that, like, I think you guys are learning a lot of lessons that takes a lot of other people a lot longer to learn, you know, and you're learning stuff now. You're going to have it with you for the rest of your life. You know, it's really good. This is amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love these socks.
They are really cool.
Which one should I wear today?
In my opinion, my favorite one out of all of these is the autism awareness socks. Because it, like, pops out and it's just, like, so vibrant.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. These are really great.
And all of them for a good cause as well. So, do you prefer judging kids or adults when it comes to baking?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I think, they're different. You know, I think it's I find that kids are a lot more enthusiastic, you know, because things are still, like, really new. And, you know, I find that I kind of bake like a kid because, like even now, like, you think about, like, how many trays of cookies have I put in the oven, you know? Probably 15,000.
That's
right?
A lot. That's a lot.
Yeah, I've been baking a long time. But today, still, when I put cookies in the oven, I'm excited because I don't know if it's going to work or not, you know? And it's really exciting. I'm like, are they going to rise? Are they going to do what they're supposed to do? Are they going to stay together? Did I put the right amount of flour? You know, all those different things. It's still exciting for me, you know? And, like, when things work, like when a muffin rises, I'm like, oh, my God, it worked. This is great, you know? And so I think that there's enthusiasm that I really share with kids. But with adults, I find that I learn so much. You know, like, when I'm judging, like, the shows, like, with the adults on it, like, the people I'm judging know just as much, if not more, than I do. And I think that I've become a much better chef by judging all these shows and watching people who are really, really good bakers and, like, really serious about it, like, really know what they're talking about. So, I don't know, kids and adults, like, they're fun for different reasons.
Yeah, and speaking of, like, you, when you watch the cookies rise, I kind of do it for popcorn, like, when you put the bag in there. I just like watching the bag pop. I don't know why.
Yeah, because it's awesome.
Yeah, so...
Wait, have you ever had Jiffy Pop?
What?
Jiffy Pop?
You've never had Jiffy Pop? Well, I mean, you got to go get Jiffy Pop. I'm talking to Mom right now. Jiffy Pop is so much cooler than microwave popcorn. You don't know what Jiffy Pop...
Well, we have Skinny Pop.
All right, so... Yeah, so
you don't know what that is.
So Jiffy Pop... You buy it in the store, and it comes in its own pan, and you put it on the fire. You put it on the stove, and you cook it. And then as the popcorn starts popping, it's in, like, this weird, like, foil thing that's, like, a spiral. And so as it pops, it, like, and it, like, gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and, like, until it, like, becomes this thing. But you got to pull it off right away. You got to pull it as soon as, like, it's got to be done. So you leave it on there too long, it all burns on the bottom, and burnt popcorn tastes like garbage.
Yeah, I hate burnt popcorn.
It's the worst.
I won't even eat it. It's that bad.
It's super bad. Yeah.
So we all know so what do you like doing better, baking or cooking?
Well, I do like them both. I think it just depends on what kind of mood I'm in. That's like picking your favorite, like, that's like saying, like, what's your favorite Zeppelin song? You know what I mean? Like, just depends on your mood, you know? Like, sometimes, like, you're in the mood for Stairway to Heaven. Sometimes you're in the mood for In My Time of Dying. You just never know, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes I'm, like, in a different mood to, like, wear some socks. Like, I don't know what sock to wear.
Right.
Sometimes I'm in autism awareness mood or... The stand up to cancer sock.
Right. You just don't know. It's just like you got to, you know, you got to wake up. You just got to feel. You got to trust your gut, mm-hmm. you know? Got to trust
your gut. Got to go what your heart tells you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we know that we know that the practice of Zadaka, did I say it right?
Zadaka.
Zadaka.
Yeah.
Okay. It's very important to you.
Yeah.
Do you think that philanthropy and businesses should go hand in hand?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important that, you know, not only do people run their companies ethically, you know, treat their employees well, you know, do the right things, you know, making the right decisions, making sure that, you know, your carbon footprint isn't too big, making sure your hiring practices are, you know, all that stuff, like making sure you're running a good ethical company. But, you know, companies exist at the pleasure of their communities. And it's really important for people that own companies to be involved in their communities. I mean, the people in my community in Baltimore are the people that buy my cakes. And I need to be taking care of my community because they're taking care of me. They're coming in and, you know, they're buying cakes, and that makes it so I can pay my rent and keep the lights on and buy more sugar and flour and all that stuff. So I think it's really important because it creates a, you know, it creates a more holistic environment. You know, so I think, you know, it's really important. And most companies do. You know, I tend to find that most of the time, companies, when their profit margin is enough, you know, where they can actually afford to do good work, they usually do, because I find that entrepreneurs like yourselves are real people that have overcome huge obstacles. You know, running a business isn't easy. Starting a business isn't easy. And it takes a special kind of person to be good at it, you know? And usually the kinds of people that are good at running a business are thoughtful, and they come from somewhere humble, and they understand that sometimes it just takes a little bit to, you know, everybody needs some help once in a while. And, you know, I've definitely needed help in the course of my business. And knowing that and understanding those things makes it so, you know, not giving just doesn't compute for me.
Yeah, and speaking about giving back, we love giving back. And if all companies, like, if everyone gave back, the world would be so much different. And you never know if one day you'll need help.
Absolutely.
So we just want to thank you for being here and being on our podcast and talking with us.
So, we have an idea. So
let's hear it.
What if we could make a baking sock?
A baking sock? Yeah, what if like...
Or a cake sock.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. Oh, you could do like measurement conversions on it. You know, you could like have a sock that has like, you know, like 1 gallon equals 64 ounces, or like 3 teaspoons equal a tablespoon, or like there's, you know, 4 cups in a quart, you know, stuff like that.
Okay, so forget to be like, oh, let me look at my sock.
Yeah, what is it again? Oh, that's right.
It's like a...
tablespoons.
So in my math class... for some tests, they have like this
cheat sheet.
it's like a. It says like what the gallon, like how much quarts are in a gallon.
Conversion sheet.
And conversion sheet. We could probably do that on a sock.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so we just want to thank you for being on the podcast. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
Hey, you guys, this is really fun. You know, you guys are impressive.
Thank you.
This is really great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You just heard Are You Kidding podcast.
Best.
With brothers Sebastian and Brandon Martinez, who are kids helping kids.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.